Welcome to Rewatchable episode 209, where we're going to discuss Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 5, episode 19, Tough Love, and Angel season 2, episode 19, Belonging. My name is Caitlin, and I am joined by fellow superfan Mai and newbies Mitch and Brittany. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hola.
Hi.
So before we get started, just a reminder of how you can get in touch with us. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com. Or you can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. All right, so as usual, before we start our discussion for the week, we will start off with fun facts. So Mitch, what's your fun fact this week?
My fun fact is I am going to take a road trip to go to Syracuse, New York, because apparently that's a place to go, although it's probably not. But I'm going to a mall there. So I'm flying back to visit my family in Albany, and that's a day that I'm doing. So if anyone knows anything about Syracuse on this podcast, that'd be great. Maybe you would know about it, Britt, being from said East Coast in the north. So do you know of anything that's fun to do there that I should be getting into or what?
The college's mascot is literally an orange ball. That's all I know about Syracuse because my friend went there.
it's just so far out that I never have been, and that's why I wanted to go.
Yep, no, that's all I got.
That's so random, Mitch.
Well, I love going on road trips with my best friend Brittany, and we went to North Carolina from New York once, and we drove it in one shot, and that was pretty intense. But then we also just only had a little bit of time this time, so we're like, we like malls, we're tired of going to Palisades, let's go to the Syracuse Mall.
That's very random.
Have you met me?
Very true. All right, Mai, what's your fun fact this week?
My fun fact is that I'm currently watching the Caps game because I got into hockey.
Always hockey.
Lame Danya.
You crazy people in your hockey.
Is Danya just convert everyone to hockey? Is that what's happening here?
She's trying, and I'm going to help.
Oh, so you were already on like this bandwagon before, and you and Danya found each other on the bandwagon, and we're like, hey.
No, it's not even been a month. It's 2 a.m. and I'm podcasting and watching the playoffs.
That's such a unique mix of life.
Well, yeah.
All right, and Brittany, what's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that today has been a whirlwind of many, many different activities. I woke up and I went to a play last night in New York, and then I got home late and I woke up this morning and I went to my nephew's t-ball game, and then I came home and I recorded Book Hype, and then I went immediately out to have a coffee date with a friend who is home because it's Easter weekend, and then straight from there I rushed back home, I watched Buffy, and now I'm recording Rewatchable, and then I'm going to see my friend's band play tonight as soon as we're done recording this. So I have not stopped since I woke up this morning, and I'm really tired already.
Uh-huh. What show did you see last night?
I saw Significant Other, and it's brilliant, and it will rip your heart out and stomp on it a million times, and Gideon Glick is a national treasure.
Is it standard or musical?
It's standard. It's a regular old play, but it's so good. So brilliant.
Cool.
Who's in it?
The only person of note that I know of from other things is Gideon Glick. There's no other really top billing actors or actresses, but everyone who was in it was beyond fantastic, and this is the first time I've seen them in anything.
All right.
That sounds so much fun. I'm jealous.
Another playbill, then.
Another playbill.
All right. And my fun fact this week is that I had a big scare when my computer crashed earlier this week. Thankfully, I did not need a new computer. I, after a couple days, figured out how to reinstall Windows, and it luckily saved all my old files from my last version of Windows, so I am slowly recovering everything that I had, so my computer is all good now, but that is definitely a scare.
Yikes.
I can relate. I recently lost a hard drive.
It sounded like you were losing like a loved one. Like, I recently lost a hard drive.
I mean, it kind of is a loved one.
Honestly, I was like, it's on par with,
it's a lot. Crushing.
Use the cloud, I guess. I don't know.
What is a cloud?
I know. That's half the issue.
No, what is a cloud? I don't have a Mac.
You don't have to, no.
Just you don't like have Google's. To have a Mac to use the cloud.
Google Drive or Amazon Cloud or
Dropbox.
Box, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's back it up.
I didn't back anything up.
Oh, no. That's like not putting any insurance on your loved one and then just watching them die and saying, oh, poo. Oh,
and it God. Was the hard drive with my pictures. And thankfully, my brother works in IT and he saved one partition.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's a very scary experience. I would probably cry.
Yeah, loved one.
All right, let's jump into our discussion of Buffy and Angel for this week. So first up is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, episode 519, Tough Love. And Mitch, is this your synopsis?
Mm-hmm.
All right. In this episode, Tara is tortured by Glory, giving us the evil Willow that we've all been waiting for. When the pressures of raising Dawn hit Buffy full force, the Slayer drops out of college and overparents a struggling Dawn. After a failed attempt at absorbing the key out of Tara, Glory arrives at the Summers residence, ready to take the key once and for all. Dawn, Dawn, Dawn. So let's talk the big thing that happened. We had Glory believing that Tara was the key because she's the newest addition to the Scooby Gang, and so she goes after her. And how horrifying was the scene of them sitting on the park bench at the fair?
Oh my god,
hand still hurts.
Same. Yeah, I like that was so excruciating. Like, I won't get graphic, but I'll just say, like, the whole scenario, it felt like so much more, I guess, like cavalier. The way that Glory treats it, and that makes it even more horrifying, because she's not realizing, or she is, but she's reveling in Tara's pain. And Tara is just the actress. I think she's Amber Sama. I don't remember.
Benson.
She does a really good job here at showing, like, I want to cry out, but I'll kill their people, so I won't. Like, it was so horrifying.
Oh, and she squeezes and the blood comes out.
Cracking. Oh my gosh.
It was like an orange. It was horrible. I was like, oh my god, this is really just oof.
What kind of oranges do you eat?
Blood oranges.
Okay.
Awkward.
Sorry I asked.
When she realizes that Tara is not the key, which we as the audience knew all along, she gets mad and brain sucks Tara. So, newbies, how did you feel about this development?
Well, I feel like it paid off at the... I know this is really far jumping ahead, but I feel like it paid off at the end. But I was hoping, and I'm hoping that there is a reversal that can happen. Because, you know, watching Willow and the whole gang go through this with Tara, kind of, you know, she's not there anymore. She's not really Tara. She's sort of just like this weird compass for Glory's use. And it was hard to watch. Those scenes with Tara after when she's in the hospital and she's being taken away from Willow, and even at the end, they're really uncomfortable to watch. And it was not a great development for me.
Do you think it wasn't great because it was like disturbing, or because you simply don't like the direction the show is taking it?
Yeah, I think, well, if they're going to leave Tara in this state, then I definitely don't like the direction that the show is taking it. And I don't necessarily think that Tara or Willow needed this storyline. You know, it felt...
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't... So, in the beginning, when Tara and Willow are fighting, I felt like it wasn't really justified how upset both sides were getting. And I don't know why. I didn't feel like... I was like, what? Why are both sides, I feel like, picking at each other? Like, I felt like they were, like, trying to force a fight that wasn't really there. And so then to have this be the consequence of, you know, bringing Willow closer to Tara and vice versa. I just didn't feel like I wasn't comfortable with how the fight initially started. So everything else that followed where I was supposed to be like really emotionally charged during, I wasn't. So yeah. I don't know. If this goes away, then okay, fine. I still don't think it was a great plot line, but if it doesn't go away, then I don't know.
I have the impression that everyone that went crazy from the brain sucks will regain back their latency once they do finally defeat Glory. She'll just return the energy and you'll see like little tiny balls of light floating up and then coming into the heads of everyone, and they'll come back and be amazing. But I also think that there's going to be a lasting effect on everyone, especially Tara. I have the impression that she will heal, and that's from Willow, even if that ball of light idea doesn't happen. Willow is showing, like, you know, sometimes she's normal, and we kind of see that. We see in Tara's eyes that she wants to be normal again. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're making progress there. Maybe it's just, like, her batteries are running low, and they have to, like, recharge her by giving her a lot of rest and feeding her a lot of applesauce. I don't know. But it feels like they're not going to keep her crazy, crazy forever. Maybe just a little tinge, though. Like, this has to have had a long-term effect, because this was the main series villain, the big bad for right now, doing it their thing. So that has to have a lasting effect. If it doesn't, then we really can't take Glory very seriously, I suppose.
Yeah, and then I guess I'd like to know, like, did that security guard, like, did he die, you know, because he mm-hmm. obviously went through something similar, because he was going crazy in the hospital and yelling, and, you know, he was, like they were saying with Willow, like she has to restrain her sometimes and they give her medicine to keep her calm. Like, how is that? Is that security guard still in this state? And like you were saying, if they do find a way to break whatever's going on and defeat Glory, will we see like, you know, like you were saying, these balls of light, and then maybe we'll revisit that security guard. I'll get another,
that'd be nice.
You know, paycheck every time this episode airs, because he can't have to come back to show that he's fine again.
He's like, yes.
Wasn't
season finale episode. Woo.
Wasn't he the one that got eaten by the alien a few episodes ago?
Honestly, it's pretty hard to track. We have so many people die and go crazy on this show. It's just like,
he got taken by the Queller.
The Queller, yeah.
Was that the one, the chaos one that like,
I just assumed that was another poor security guard, because I didn't think that security guard ever got out of the hospital.
Listen, it's not good being a security guard in Sunnydale, I'll give you that much.
Yeah, because they ran out of beds, so they had to send him home, because there have been so many crazy people that there wasn't room in the psych ward for...
Yeah, that's when he met Dawn in the hall.
Because there was like a chubbier security guard, and there was... one, because the chubbier security guard was the one when Glory's first introduced that has his brain sucked out. And then there's another one that, like, gave Buffy the ball of whatever that was at that time.
Oh, the shiny.
Yeah. So that's where I'm getting confused, which security guard we're talking
about. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of, the one who gave Buffy the ball.
Okay.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, because that was the guy. Yeah, that's the one that I was thinking of.
To see him come back, get his brain back.
Yeah, but maybe not if this thing ate it. Or ate all the security guards, because he has a security guard fetish or something. I don't know. Maybe they taste
better. Oh, the Queller demon ate everyone in the hospital.
But didn't you just say he got released because there were too many beds? See, now I'm confused. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, I'm confused.
One of the guards.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, he got eaten in the woods where the...
Okay, so all the security guards are dead, and we will only ever see Tara get better. I'm fine with that. Let's get off the security guards. This show is literally eating up plot.
Oh, no.
Hey, you asked.
I did ask, and I'm saying I'm confused, and I also don't really care that much about the security guard at this point. I just want Tara to get better.
Yeah, just as soon as I'm starting to like Tara, she goes crazy. And I'm just like, ah, drat.
I think part of it, too, is that Buffy just had a loss, but it had nothing to do with Glory. Like, Riley left, that had nothing to do with Glory. Joyce died, that had nothing to do with Glory. She hasn't had a personal loss in any way related to Glory at this point. And Tara is kind of, like, it's... weird to say, but like the most expendable because she's the newest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it also like p- propels Willow forward. So let's talk
about that. That's funny, because Dawn isn't the newest. You're right, because she's technically in the minds of everyone.
Yeah.
One of the oldest Scooby here next to Buffy, right? Because she's been in Buffy's circle for the longest. So she's you're right.
All along, technically.
Yeah. And I suppose that there's no way that Glory would really know that, because her memory would probably be affected or not. I don't know. That's kind of fuzzy magic territory.
Or the memories of everybody, because they were observing everybody and everyone knows that.
So that's Glory's interpretation of everyone's memories, is that Dawn's been around forever. That logic makes more sense, because I was confused at first why Glory didn't just go after Dawn, because I was like, obviously she's the most new here. Wouldn't she be able to figure that out? But it seems like Glory really doesn't have as much power as in her mind as she does, you know, physically. She's definitely not all there. And I like that they point that out pretty often, and that she needs to like recharge her brain by sucking out more. She's all like, you know, revitalized from Tara's witchy brain. And I find that concept really interesting. I'm finding her to be actually a decent villain.
So let's talk about how Willow reacts to this whole thing. We get what Mitch is very excited about. We got some dark Willow. Like Buffy tries to talk her down from going after Glory. Willow pretends that it works and then goes and finds the book in the magic shop on all the darkest magic, and she goes straight on, black eyes, levitating, lightning, like she goes all out, crazy dark, and goes
bad after effects.
I thought they were all right for this day and age.
The knives.
Okay, yeah. They have trouble with snakes in the show, all right?
But this,
the knives were bad.
Yeah, the knives were pretty bad.
I just didn't find it realistic that she'd be able to karate chop the knives away like that. I was like, okay, that's like more than the Matrix. That's even worse.
She's a god, Mitch.
Yeah, she did it with god magic.
God magic, okay.
Well, god powers.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty noteworthy that she, like, Glory notes that, like, Willow has taken something out of her through this confrontation. Like, she's not able to just, you know, wipe it away afterwards. Like, it actually does some damage to her. So it seems like maybe Willow has some talents there that might come in useful later. But obviously she drained her own energy pretty quickly. She couldn't keep up the level of magic she was doing very quickly. Yeah. And we saw how she was struggling for days after doing that teleportation spell, which was significantly less powerful than what she was doing to Glory. So how did the newbies feel about Willow's reaction, and any predictions on how she's going to deal with the effects of the magic after?
I hope that she has like one of those moments where it's like, you know how Buffy had the special moment where she combined powers with Willow, Xander, and Giles, and then she, like, I think became a primal slayer, and that had effects on all of their psyches, and that made them kind of crazy. I hope that they follow through with that here, and that she has, like, some dark entity coming after her. Maybe they'll have the vengeance demon that gave Anya her powers come back and offer Willow again, be like, you're really powerful, we really want you. And maybe she'll say yes, because it'll be like the way she gets back Tara. I hope they follow through with this with something, though.
Yeah, I feel like the newbies, not really myself included, but at least Adiana and Mitch, have been waiting for Dark Willow for a really long time. So I hope for their sake that this has some repercussions. And like you were saying, like with that book seems really powerful on its own. So maybe something, you know, is triggered because someone used it and they come in and there are consequences, or like you were saying, Mitch, some sort of recruitment. But I did think it was odd that it took Spike saying, like, you know, did you really think you were going to send the witch back to her room to contemplate what was actually happening?
Yeah.
Like, I was so shocked that Buffy was like, I totally talked her off a ledge, and I know my own power over people. And I was like, no, you didn't. You're not reading the room correctly. And I understand she's got a lot of stress and, you know, stuff going on, but did not read that situation very well. And I thought it was hilarious that it took Spike to be like, hello, did you really think that she was just going to go sit on this and just let it happen because you said so? And Willow was already dealing with everyone telling her, like, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. And so, you know, Buffy just didn't understand because, you know, like we were saying earlier, something of hers wasn't personally affected by Glory. So she doesn't have that vengeance in her right now. But she could, and she has had it before. So, you know, it just took a little bit of connecting the dots. And luckily Spike was there.
Yeah, like remember when Oz was getting in with Veruca, the other lady wolf, and she was about to kill Oz with a spell or break his heart or take it out or something? Like, I think that was probably when that vengeance demon came up to her. I feel like because once again she's doing another vengeance thing, that it might come up. It really feels like that's going to connect here.
Yeah, I wouldn't count it out at all. I think it would be an interesting turn, especially because we're nearing the end of this season. It could set up something for next season. So, yeah.
And I'm telling you, if season 6 is Dark Willow as the main antagonist, I'll be so excited.
That would be interesting, at least. Maybe she can, you know, really just kick. I liked those dark, like, contacts or whatever she was wearing, or even if it was just a special effect. She looked really, really cool.
Yeah, no, it looked really natural, however it was, because she could still, like, emote with them, and it wasn't like she had to just keep her eyes wide open so that they didn't move.
Yeah, it looked like she was, like, you can tell when she was scared, and you can tell, you know, when she was starting to fade.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked when she was, for instance, being dragged, that her eyes still stayed black, because even though she was still Willow, she had this darkness that was kind of fueling her here, and that was, it was so amazing. I love the way that was choreographed. I know that it was kind of lame special effects, but I got so excited whenever she's, like, you know, like, thicken and, like, oh, it's just, it's so like American Horror Story Coven, which I love, and I want more Evil Witch stuff.
Yeah, I would like more history, you know, like, with witches, because, like, we get a lot of vampire canon and, like, you know, different demons we learn a lot about, especially on Angel. I would like to learn more about, like, witches and their role in, like, modern day society, and maybe meet a few more.
Yeah, that would be really cool, because we kind of get into it a little bit when they're talking about, you know, Willow's watching the History Channel, and then they talk about the book that Dawn just uses. So it does feel like they're leading up to something that could be the history of witches. Even a flashback, like, I don't even know, like, anything could be fun there.
Yeah, or if they go and they have to seek counsel with someone, you know, you get, like, a flashback as the person's telling the story or something. Just anything. I think it would be a cool one-off, even if it's just a one-off episode.
Like, maybe that Broadway star that you liked with the lizard tail that helped Dawn resurrect Joyce.
Joel Grey, yeah.
Yeah, he could come back and do that, because it seems like his role wasn't over.
I hope not. I love Joel Grey, but I really do think he's only in one episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's worth pointing out, too, that before Tara gets her brain sucked, that, you know, she and Willow have a fight that Brittany did not find particularly convincing. But it really all starts when Tara kind of accidentally says, I'm frightened by, you know, how powerful you are, by how much magic you're using. And she's like, oh, yeah, I didn't mean that. But no, she really means it.
I like the Freudian slip explanation there. That was amazing. Like, it was by this lady who was, you know, psych class.
Yeah, that was great. I think that line made the fight justified, but I felt like it took too long to get there. Like, I guess they had to set up the misreading of each other before they got to that point and she said that. So, like, you know, that they're just not communicating well, and obviously that's really clear in the beginning of their conversation, and then they get to that point and it's like, well, we're clearly not communicating well because you're telling me now that you're frightened of me, even though, you know, you've been doing this longer, and I was just dabbling in witchcraft, and, you know, it's a weird layer of their relationship that, you know, she's starting to feel like Willow's getting a little too into what they're doing, and she is powerful, and when is that power going to overcome her? And it, as we saw in this episode, it happened now. She's able to channel it into something not great.
Or isn't it?
What?
See, this is like, you want Angelus, I want Eva Willow.
I mean, I always want Angelus, so.
Yes, so now you get how you feel.
Although we have, like, really cute smiley angel right now, and he's doing it for me, but still kind of love Angelus, because he can be cute and smiley when he's Angelus. He's just probably going to kill you after he smiles, but here it's like he's going to give you a sandwich and smile, so it's fine. I don't know what's more threatening, like a tuna melt or death. So.
Cake and death.
Yes.
Perfect mix.
All right. So we have Tara has now been brain sucked and the team has to really deal with this and they're all hit really hard by it. Willow's dealing with having just done some pretty dark magic and now she's going to try and take care of Tara the best she can, because as we saw, Tara's family is pretty much useless. So really it is just going to be Willow and the other Scoobies there to help. In this episode, we also have a side note where Buffy drops out of school because she's going to have to be Dawn's guardian. But Dawn is starting to is starting to act out. Basically, we saw her previously like steal a pair of Anya's earrings, and now she's not going to class and she's really like sassing Buffy. And then Buffy pulls out the, if you don't get it together, they're going to take you away from me, which like freaks her out. So how are we feeling with all of this? Every time I see this, I just can't help but think that Buffy is so young to basically be turning into a mother of a 14-year-old. So my heart breaks for her having to take on that kind of responsibility at the age that she's at, on top of everything else that she has.
Yeah, and you really feel how young she is in these scenes because, like, you know, when we're watching the body and just all the aftermath of those of that episode, it's like you forget how young Buffy is until, you know, she's going to her professor and she's saying, like, you know, I really like poetry, and like you're watching her give that up, even though it's probably not something that she was super into, but she's realizing in that moment how much she will miss it. And it's so simple. It's poetry. It's learning about something new. And she's losing that innocence of just going into class and learning something and not remembering the name of it. And that's not the biggest deal in the world. You know, that would have been a huge deal if she couldn't remember what a haiku was called in an exam. That would have been a big, like, one of the biggest things that she would have to deal with that day. But it doesn't seem that important now. And then you, like, counter that with how she thinks she should be acting towards Dawn and handling things. And, you know, you realize she's just doing the best that she can and how she thinks that she should be handling things. And when Giles tells her that he can't do it for her, it's, you know, she has to suck it up and, you know, get things done or else they are going to take her away. And I think that that conversation at the table was great because, you know, you want to slap Dawn because she's being really annoying, but you also realize that Buffy's trying to not put that on her, not tell Dawn, like, you know, if I don't want to add this pressure to you because, you know, you're the key, you just lost your mother, you're feeling like a, you know, already you feel like a burden, but now you kind of have to get your act together, otherwise you're not going to be here anymore. So.
And you're also a teenager doing the teenage thing.
Yeah, but she's not feeling connected to that part of her identity right now.
Yeah, but it's still happening because they made her human.
It's still happening, but, you know, I don't know.
So she's still going to be a hormone bomb.
Oh, I get what you're saying now. I didn't get what you were trying to get at before. I thought you were just like, she's acting like that because she thinks she has to act like that. But hormones are a different story.
She's got a lot on her plate.
I mean, is Dawn even around to stay? That's the thing. It's to the point where I'm like, if Glory gets what she wants, she gets the key. Buffy then has all the more reason to kill her. But I don't know. It just, from a cultural impact, it feels like Dawn has a bigger role than just this season. And I don't know if that's generally even a spoiler, because that's really just my reaction to this whole season. Like, it just feels like this character is set up to do more. But I don't know. It would be also interesting then if they were to kill off Dawn in the season finale. I don't think it's likely, but I do think it's likely that Glory's about to get her hands on her, and maybe for some reason there'll be some protective aura over Dawn and she won't be able to do it. But it'd be funny if all of this growth that Buffy's doing, and she's trying to get this together and she quit school and everything, went to nothing because then Dawn's killed. I would be I'd be pretty amazed if the show was able to jerk us around like that, actually.
I would be pretty amazed if Buffy would be able to survive being jerked around like that. I know she's strong, but I don't think that they could justify doing that at this point.
The loss of Joyce and Dawn in the same season.
Yeah, not even just in the same season, just making something, I feel like, that pointless. Like, why put Buffy through that? If I don't know. I don't know if that could... I don't know if the series could have sustained itself two more seasons if they did that. It's interesting,
my question is if they keep Dawn around now, what's her role going to be, in that she right now is the key, and that's the thing that that's her interest point. So where does she go from here? Does she take up witchcraft, maybe? Is that kind of the role she's looking to get into now?
I mean, maybe, or maybe she just finally just is Buffy's sister and completes high school and hangs out with Willow and finds her own interest. Maybe she becomes, like, you know, part of the crew, and or maybe her and Spike, you know, just become friends and start making, you know, mannequins on the side and selling them to lonely people. You know, it's fine.
Isn't it amazing that she, Buffy trusts Spike already to babysit Dawn? It feels like such a quick jump from, like, you made a sex bot about me, but you said you protect my life too. Okay, but now here is my sister, done.
I think it's more of Spike can get her away. You know, like, if you had to rack your brain, Xander would, like, leave a trail of, like, sunflower seeds or something just by accident. Giles, you know, would think that he's doing the right thing, but would take her somewhere so obvious that even he doesn't realize how obvious it is. Anya would probably say something to the wrong person because she's just being blunt. Willow's already dealing with enough. Like, where does that leave you? It leaves you with the person who knows how to get away and how to hide. And so... yeah. I think it just makes sense. It regardless, like, in that moment, I don't think Buffy's thinking about anything but getting Dawn safe, and that requires someone who knows how to get away and stay away, hidden, and that's Spike.
And who didn't give up the secret when he got captured.
Yeah, that's true. He did.
That is true. Yeah, so she knows that she can trust him. I guess that was the turning point, especially with her kissing him. That was, like, the kiss of trust. Not exactly of love, but of just, like, you're on the in crowd.
What? Yeah, she said, "I'll never forget that."
So I guess this is it. This is, I mean, to me, this is Buffy. This is how they act. This is, like, as romantic as they get, maybe. I don't know. It's curious to me if they're to get more romantic, because it seems like we've seen the extremes of his dream of his sex bot, so that we can see that's what he can't get and that's what he won't get. But what he will get is more of, like, a calm, something blue-ish kind of Buffy, one that's kind of, like, stupid lovey-dovey, like, haha, I love you, Spike, but you're stupid. Oh, God, opposed to, like, you're the best. Let's pretend I'm the Slayer coming to get you. Like, I don't think they're going to get to that level.
I don't want any of that.
I mean, they have to, right? Where are they building up? Once again, if they put Buffy through all this, they in Spike, they transform these characters to get into each other, and then they kill him off, or they don't go into it. It would feel like a waste.
Well, we do know that Spike needs to get to Angel eventually, thanks Netflix photo. But yeah. Okay, I want them to just be, like, friends with benefits, like, to the point where they're just, like, in the same group and they're hanging out, and then they just get so mad at each other that they have sex and then they're fine again. It's like a reset every time. It's not anything lovey-dovey. It's just like, I'm mad, you're mad, let's have sex and blow off some steam and then go kill some vamps. So I think it's like, I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I do see that role happening. Friends with benefits. I think that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I think Buffy just needs a break from romantic lovey-doveyness. Like, it doesn't have to last forever, but I think she just needs a break from that and just to have something fun and with no strings. Although, there's probably a ton of strings on Spike's side. But he's got issues, so...
All right.
Caitlin's like, I'm throwing up now.
Angel.
Well, that and hashtag no comment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Safe response. I guess the final thing to throw out is that in the final moments of this episode, Glory discovers that Dawn is the key. She comes and attacks the group of girls. They're there, and Tara, in her lack of sanity, sees Dawn as she is and says it, which Glory realizes Dawn is the key. Uh-oh. I find that ending so jarring because it's this really, like, touching scene, and I was kind of tearing up a little bit because it's like, you know, yeah. Willow, you can see how much Willow loves Tara, that she's willing to take care of her like this the rest of her life. And Buffy's like, I understand, because with Dawn, and then boom, the side of the house gets ripped off out of nowhere, and boom, there's Glory, and now she knows. So what do you think's gonna happen, newbies?
Two-part finale.
Is it finale now? I didn't look ahead.
I think it's three episodes. Yeah, there's only 22 episodes, so it's 20. Nice.
This was 19.
So oh, so 3-part finale.
That'll be rough to get through. It'll be an emotional roller coaster all around.
But yeah, so Glory knows, guys. What happens?
I don't even... 3-part finale. I mean, how can there still be 3 episodes left? I don't even get it. We're going to go into like some dimension, or we're going to set up season 6 in the finale. That's how we're going to do it. Probably 2-part, like semi-finale, and then actual finale will be just like when we went back and we had like those dream sequences for season 5.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. I would assume because of Glory's strength, she's just going to take Dawn, and, you know, that's going to set things off. And, you know, now Buffy needs to work to get Dawn back, and, you know, I'm not sure. Beyond that, I don't really know. I'm assuming that something will happen to probably most of the Scooby gang. Ugh, I can't believe I said that out loud. I've been working so hard to not call them that.
Really?
Scoobies.
Scoobies. I like it at all. Yeah, so I'm not sure what the collateral damage will be. I don't know if everyone will survive, if there has to be some sort of sacrifice. Like, you know, when Angel had to do that trial to get, you know, things. You know, I don't know. It's going to be really... this is something, like, I literally have no clue what will happen. But I will bet that Dawn is taken within the first 10 minutes of next episode.
It was a good cliffhanger. I'll give you that much. It felt earned, you know? It didn't feel like any of the stupid Walking Dead ones that I've suffered through. Like, this one was so there. The drama needed this.
It was a big dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. Like, the Josh Whedon was like a punch in the face. Like, ha-ha, you have to wait.
It's just like the Amy Sherman Palladinos at the end of really, like, distressing Gilmore Girls episodes or anything. When you see the director's name at the end of a really big moment, you're just like, oh, God, it's so silent. I could die right now.
Yeah, I was going to mention one, but it's probably a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen Gilmore Girls, so I won't do it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And it was a season finale, which made it even worse.
I know exactly
what you're talking exactly about. Yeah, you know exactly which one I'm talking
about. Cell
phone? Yeah, it almost
killed me. I have no idea.
Okay. Okay, we're good. I got that.
Any final thoughts on this episode before I move to scenes and lines?
I'm ready, guys. I'm so ready to see Glory go down, and I'm ready to see why this season 6 is so polarizing coming up. I don't know what's going on, but I'm just like, what's going to go wrong? Oh,
you know what we didn't talk about that I think will actually could change my prediction for whether or not Dawn is taken in the first 10 minutes of next episode? Ben the comes bubble back and is like, oh, what's right. up?
Yeah, Ben gets fired from his job in this episode because he has been gone for 2 weeks and had no idea he was gone for 2 weeks because it seems like Glory is more and more taking over.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's busy taking baths.
Yeah, I feel like she's gaining a lot of strength if she's able to be there for 2 whole weeks without Ben.
And Ben's going to sacrifice himself. That's pretty obvious here, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't see a purpose for him once Glory's gone. Because I'm assuming Glory. Just for Buffy. Although, you know what? Like Wolfram and Hart, Glory could stick around forever because I feel like Wolfram and Hart just has so many people that it's never going away. Maybe this is the never-ending Glory that we have to fight until the end.
The never-ending Glory. That's gold.
But yeah, I don't know how long Ben's going to stick around, especially now that Glory is becoming so powerful. She doesn't really, Ben's not slipping out as much. And he, as we saw, has like zero control. Because he's like, no, I'm Ben. And Glory's like, what's up? I'm here.
Yep.
Poor Ben. He has great hair.
Yeah, he does.
Also, Karen was editing the episode where I realized that Ben is the guy from How to Get Away with Murder. And she said, listening to that reveal unfold was just... a wonderful moment in my life.
He's Frank?
Yeah.
Oh,
people,
wow.
We've talked about this.
No, but I thought you were saying one of the minions in makeup was Frank. That's where I got confused in that episode.
No, look at pictures of Ben and look at Frank.
That's so weird.
It's so
Ben
good.
Is baby Frank.
That's very obscure. Like, oh my God, my mind's really blown. Yeah. I'm even more mind blown than you were because I was like total misdirection there. I was like, that creepy little scabby minion man, whatever his name is, like Tootsie or something, he's Frank.
Yeah, nope. It's Ben. Ben is Frank.
Weird.
There's this one little thing I want to mention, and there's a moment in the caves with Dawn and Spike. Where he's about to, pat her on the head or something. Aww. Like, stroke her. And she turns back to him and he pulls away. Like, I'm gonna comfort you. Oh, you're turning. I didn't do nothing.
Like, poor Spike. He just wants to help the little nugget.
Yeah.
Niblet.
Niblet, that's it.
I always want to call her that little nugget, too.
Platelet.
Oh, God. All right, let's move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines. Mai, what was your favorite scene?
Mine is Tara not telling Glory who the key is, because the loyalty is just amazing.
You can see that moment when she... like decides she's not going to say anything and like she just, her face shuts down. It's so good.
It's a big F you.
Go Tara. Mitch, how about you?
Did I take your scene?
It's okay. Mine was the triangle math bodies because it's really cute when they're all doing this and putting it all together. Like, oh, yeah, Xander got a little grumpy when we called him at obtuse angles, so then we said we were acute. Like, I kind of like math puns like that, and those are always my favorite go-to ones, obtuse and acute.
That was cute. And Brittany, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was the conversation between Giles and Buffy, where he is basically like, just because I'm a grown-up, like, you know, doesn't mean that I am the person that you need to... like, you know, lay down the law. And I just thought that scene was really great, and how he's like telling her she needs to listen up and take charge and put her foot down. And it was just hard to see Buffy contrasted with Giles in that moment, because she doesn't want to be the grown-up yet, and she's realizing that even the grown-ups are telling her she has to be the grown-up. So I just loved it. I love Giles and Buffy moments. I feel like we don't get enough of them anymore.
That is true. They've taken a back burner, their lessons and everything.
Isn't she like 20? I was not a grown up at 20.
Exactly. All right. And my favorite scene was the Spike and Dawn scene, because I'm just obsessed with the friendship that's developing there, and just Spike treats Dawn like a normal person, and Dawn likes that he doesn't treat her weird, and I don't know. I like their dynamic, so I enjoyed that scene with them together. So I always enjoy Spike and Dawn together.
I like their conversation and how he says that he's not good, but he's not bad.
So. Yeah, because she's feeling guilty about anything that happens to Tara.
Yeah. He doesn't suck at comforting.
Could have been a lot worse.
Considering the source, yeah.
Yeah, very true. All right, let's move on to favorite lines. Maya, what was your favorite line?
Giles the Ripper. He changed his mind because, oh my God. I don't know what happened when their backs were turned. But it must have been great.
Oh, Giles. Sweet, sweet Giles.
I almost put the moment where he hits him with the door without even looking as my favorite scene.
that's amazing. I love that.
He doesn't even break stride or even look down. He just shuts the door on him. So good. Love it. Mitch, what about you?
My favorite quote is from when Spike was telling Buffy to go out and stop Willow because Buffy's like, would you really do that? Go out and do, like, fight for glory even though it's a suicide mission? And he goes, right person. Person I loved, I'd do it. And I was like, oh God, I'm starting to ship it more and more.
You know, every time that happens, I'm like, I feel it. I feel it. I don't want to feel it, but I feel it.
I know. Yeah, he's getting more and more genuine. It's like they're just slowly turning up the lovey eyes dial on these vampire men, Angel and Spike, to make us like them even more.
Lest we forget the Buffy bot, guys. That was
I know. Episode. It was so
I mean, recent. Or the underwear rating. I mean, there's a lot to choose from.
Stalking, whatever. Take your pick.
Hey, considering he's a soulless evil vampire.
I know.
He's not that bad these
days. It doesn't mean that I have to ship them, but I still am going to, okay?
All right, Brittany, your favorite line?
Mine was one that Mitch alluded to earlier, which is when Willow is saying to Tara, she's like, well, I took Psych 101. I mean, I took it from an evil government scientist who was skewered by her Frankenstein-like creation before the final, but I know what a Freudian slip is. And I love when people mention what they learned in Psych 101 because I feel like everybody takes Psych 101. And, like, it's the worst semester in college when any of your friends are in Psych 101. I did not take Psych 101, but every single one of my friends did. And it was a horrible, horrible semester. They're like, oh, well, if you dreamt about this, then that must... I'm like, I don't care what dreaming about swimming with turtles means to me. I just really just wanted to tell you that I dreamt that I swam with turtles last night. Please stop psychoanalyzing me. Ugh, I hate Psych 101 so much.
I took Psych 101 and I definitely did not learn how to interpret dreams. I think I got cheated.
it was literally one chapter that every single person read, and it was the worst conversation you could possibly have with anyone.
All right. And my favorite line was Xander in trying to be supportive of Buffy in his Xander way. He says, whatever you choose, you've got my support. Just think of me as your, you know, I'm searching for supportive things and I'm coming up all bras. So something slightly more manly. Think of me as that. I just love Buffy has this really, like, soft, affectionate look on her face as he's saying that, so thought it was cute.
Angel.
All right.
Angel.
Brittany's excited.
I just love Angel so much.
So episode 219, Belonging. our synopsis. In this episode, Lauren's cousin is so rude as to enter our universe via a magical portal. Isn't it the worst when family drops by unexpectedly? Also, Cordy is sexually harassed during a commercial shoot. One of Gunn's friends dies during a vamp run. Wesley won't ever live up to Daddy's high expectations. And Angel wants a bottle and a tavern wench for only a few bob. As they're sending back Glandok to Lauren's original dimension, Angel Investigations accidentally sends Cordy to a prehistoric planet. Whoops. So
our also episode... Also, Amy Acker.
Yes.
That should have been in all caps at the end. I don't know how big of a role she's going to play, but I did know that she was an Angel, and when I saw her picture, I got really excited.
Oh, so the librarian, Lady Fred, I was predicting that she's going to come into it, so I'm glad I was right there, because that actress seemed like a little bit compelling just to have like a little like book scene, but I was still kind of interested.
Yeah, so no comment beyond we see her on a poster.
True.
But we open this episode with this really cute little celebratory dinner date at the restaurant with the whole group there to celebrate Cordelia getting a commercial. And it's kind of hilarious because Angel is just going on about how everything's so expensive because he's old and Cordelia
not
gets
cheap.
Yeah, he's just old. And we find out later, Bonanza, he's definitely old.
Hey, I watch Bonanza reruns.
Yeah, he was watching it live. So just kind of really cute scene of the group, and they're hanging out just as friends, which is delightful. And I know everybody loved it.
Oh, I loved the shot where you see just the three of them, and then you hear Angel, and it's because you're looking at the reflection. I thought that was so cool. I was like, oh my God, look at them using this stuff. Also, what if you're in the restaurant and you walk by and like you happen to do a double take? Like, that would be really weird. But I guess no one's really
I was
that
thinking
much
about that.
Oh, that was so cool. That was just such a great opening shot.
I think people in LA, as evidenced by that lady at the library when she sees Lauren, are programmed to find an explanation for things they can't explain and just go with it.
Yeah. Oh, it must be a fun house mirror.
Yeah. Because you can see that librarian, like, her face kind of changes. She comes up with a explanation. She just settles on it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people in LA are just, and people who live where there's a lot of supernatural activity in this universe, probably just, that's how they get from day to day, is they just find their explanation and that's it.
Or they're being confounded, like in Harry Potter, all the time. Because it seems really unrealistic that she would just believe that quote unquote, good of a makeup job would just be to, quote, test out the area. It's just like these people seem a little bit too stupid for their own good. Even back to like when Joyce was too believing and all of Buffy's explanations, I was just like, this is dumb. Like, they should see through this by now.
People believe what they want to believe.
Yeah. If you're willfully obtuse,
just ask Willow's mom.
Yes. Very true. But yes, so the dinner date is interrupted when Angel tries to confront this lady with her shawl that turns out just to be like a rich person's shawl. And he thinks it's a magic shawl and awkward. So they can't have nice things because of this.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then Cordy gets food poisoning.
Yes.
Everything changed when the food poisoning attacked.
Everything changed when the sashimi attacked, yeah.
That just sounds unappetizing. Why would she want that in the first place?
It was probably one of the most expensive things on the menu.
Yeah.
Cordy.
Oh my God.
Because it sounded fancy.
Yeah. So Cordy gets this commercial shoot. She goes, and it turns out that her job is to be scantily clad in a bikini and lean over to the point of falling out of her bikini top while rubbing down a guy with lotion on a beach set. Oof. And she is, and the director is just disgusting, and poor Cordelia.
That was horrible. I can't even relive this moment. It's so bad.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. And
I hope she doesn't have to do more of this to, like, make her career. Like, if this becomes her arc that she has to go through a lot more horrible auditions, they don't have to always be sexualized. But just, like, people treating her like crap, I'll be so sad. I think Cordy deserves so much better than this.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, Angel agrees because he goes off on this guy there and also goes off on him again in private with the guys. He's like, I just can't believe she would choose something, you know, that makes you have to be in those situations. And, you know, I mean, so choosing a life of being put in demonic situations is much better than choosing to put yourself in front of, like, a gross director, because at least you have some agency and something good is going to come out of being confronting demons all the time, as opposed to you know, rubbing suntan lotion on someone's back. Also, Angel stepping into the sunlight and enjoying, like, being on the beach. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces.
He is such, like, a little happy baby face on. He's just like, I'm content.
He can buy a studio light, though.
Yeah. He's just like,
it's not the same.
She's like, what are you doing? He's like, getting a tan.
not bursting into flames.
I think it was the fact that he just kind of tripped over it. They made it more magical because he can recreate that himself, but it wouldn't be as nice as just falling into what looks like a very convincing beach.
Yeah, fake sand in the background.
I don't think it would occur to him to set that up. So when he finds it, it's like, oh, kind of reminds me of when he had the magic ring for that one episode. And
God, it was so dumb that he destroyed that.
Yeah.
Went skipping on the beach.
He's like, I need to suffer. I can't have this really powerful ring that would solve the whole series.
I need to walk in the dark.
I need to brood.
Like, why not just, like, I mean, I guess someone else could get a hold of it. I can't
wear pale colors.
Aww. Yeah, I think the best thing for magical artifacts like that is to destroy them rather than use them for selfish gain. But
you could just, you know, use it as a toe ring or something.
Angel is not that kind of guy.
No one would know he was wearing it.
Well, if he's in the sun, he's going to wear flip-flops.
I see him wearing mandals, like the ones with the straps on them. Him thinking it's really hip and cool. Kind of like a shoebie from Rocket Power.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Angel is a socks and sandals kind of guy.
I was just thinking socks and sandals.
That's what shoebies would wear. You couldn't see it. See, he'd be wearing the socks.
And a fanny pack.
Yes, and a fanny pack. And
yes, yeah. That's totally it.
Oh, this is so cute. I want this so bad.
Add this to our fan fiction tally for rewatchable.
I was going to say.
Bad
Angel taking care of everyone on the beach.
Brittany, what if on vacation?
Vacation Tenzin.
If Angel joins in the festivities with his magical toe ring.
Not.
Your magical toe ring.
Look, I already have Giles and Vacation Tenzin hitting the beach. I don't know if I can add Vacation Angel with his Hawaiian shirt.
That would be some sexual Tenzin.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is going not good places. No.
So portals.
This is going to be in the
papers. Yeah. So just briefly, we also see Wesley calls his father to wish him a happy birthday. And it sure seems like Wesley has a very unimpressed father. So,
show of hands, who hates father?
Well, I need to see him or hear him, I think, to actually know my feelings on him. I'm just interpreting from like a one side conversation.
And
he sounds like
he's probably grumpy.
I wonder if they're going to cast him.
I don't know. That could be interesting. I felt so bad for Wesley. Like, I mean, he finally feels like he's, you know, important, even though, like, you know, we have Angel still struggling with handing over the reins and Wesley adapting to the role. And then you see, like, even though he can flaunt this title, he doesn't really feel like he's, I don't know if he feels like he hasn't earned it or what's going on with him. But, you know, even when he's saying to his dad and he's like, no, I can't get fired again. No, I like, you know, and but he doesn't really know. He doesn't know if Angel can come back and sort of like usurp the group again, because maybe he can't handle it. I think he can, but I don't know. I don't know how Wes is feeling, and I feel sad for him, especially after that phone call.
I know. I'm kind of imagining like Patrick Stewart playing his father right now. That's my dream casting. I think that would fit pretty well.
Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay.
I think I'm still thinking of Logan Brittany. It's still in my mind.
Yeah, but he was kind to Logan, and I don't want him.
Yeah, but
to
it was
be
like kind of curmudgeon enough. That's the role I could see him getting into here, regardless.
Yeah. Oh, you want swearing, Patrick Stewart?
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be fun.
Before Logan sedates him.
All right. Our also side plot, we also see, so everyone is having a little struggle on the side in this episode. And we have Gunn, who is continuing to be torn between Angel Investigations and his old crew. So they have been hunting vampires without him. And then they come and ask him to use his truck, the one that was, you know, rigged to high hell with vampire killing equipment. And he gets pulled into the hunt for Angel Investigations. And by the time he gets back, we find that one of his friends has been killed in the episode, in the hunt. So, the you know, he's saying, you know, you guys should have waited for me. And they said, we've been waiting for you for months. So they're burning the friend's body because they don't know if he's going to rise again. And Gunn's feeling a lot of guilt for basically leaving everyone that he knew and really had been in charge of to join this new group.
Yeah, I liked that we got a little glimpse of everyone's, like, you know, the other world that they either want to feel connected to or don't feel connected to or don't want to be connected to in this episode, except really Angel. Like, because, I mean, I guess in that scene where he's standing in the sunlight, that could be seen as, like, him not feeling connected to that side of the world. But, you know, you get Wes and his dad and him kind of feeling like his place in the group isn't really as stable as he'd like it to be. Then you have Gunn being pulled between, you know, his new job and his old friends. And then you have Lorne and his, like, you know, he doesn't feel like part of his old clan anymore. And then you have Cordy, who's like came here to be an actress and be part of that Hollywood high rolling hills world, but when she's dining at the same tables as the celebrities, she gets food poisoning, and when she's in front of the camera, she's getting, like, you know, like she's just put to shame for her body and having bags under her eyes. And it was such a good episode, and Angel does so much work, just such great character work, and this episode was just so good.
See, I had the impression that it was all just so scattered, and I couldn't find a significance in every story because I was too busy still processing the last story I was just getting into, mainly Cordy's. That's the one that affected me the most, so that I couldn't really care too much about Gunn's friend dying, because I was like, oh, I'm like going through Cordy's crisis here, and then they have this like demon they're trying to fight in the meantime, the Drakian, and I'm like, whoa, there's like five plots going on, and I mean, they're getting equal screen time and they're being written well. It just felt like there just wasn't a way for me to concentrate on what I needed to here.
Oh, I don't know.
The theme is in the title.
I know. I disagree. I liked it a lot, and I felt like we needed to see that these other internal struggles a little bit to really just set the tone, like reset the tone of Angel, because like there is this ongoing plot with Cordelia, and there is a bunch of other stuff going on where, you know, with Angel coming back, we haven't really had time to. We've gotten little scenes here and there where, you know, he's trying to, like, work out how to work with Wes or work under Wes. And then, you know, I think we needed to reset where everybody's mind is at and how they're feeling. If they're feeling like they're really a part of Angel Investigations, or if they're feeling like they're still pulled to these other things. And this episode, I think, did a great job of doing that, but also laying the groundwork for the next couple of episodes that we're going to see. And I liked the that they were, the demon wasn't like this huge, it was overarching and everyone was working towards that, like, you know, common goal. But at the same time, it was just like, it didn't matter. It was happening in the background kind of. And then we were able to focus on Lauren a bit and learn Lauren's name, which was a long time coming.
That's like forever. That was so crazy that we waited this long to learn his name. And when the reveal happens, I was just like, so we already knew that.
I liked learning his full name as well, and how his cousin wouldn't stop saying his full name.
I just realized there's Lorne inside of Krevlorn Swath.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that at first.
Krevlorn Swath of the Deathwalk clan.
The clan.
Yeah.
So I guess we know Lorne officially, and that probably makes him more of a main character. It's kind of like in Glee when you knew someone got like a little like head voice and they were talking as they're walking through the halls. If a character has like a name and a backstory on Angel, you know they're going to stick around.
I hope so. I like Lorne.
There's also Angel's conversation with Lorne about his dimension with the black and white morality and everyone's a champion. And Angel get this look on his face like he'd like the place because there's no gray.
Hmm.
Yeah, and he has just come off this whole thing that the world is all gray.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. been beat up by the gray.
Yeah, that's curious there. If Angel was to maybe go back, and I know we're not to this yet, but let's just say that, you know, I assume they're going to go to this dimension, and maybe Angel will want to be like, hey, I could stay here. This is my thing. I've earned this. This is my paradise.
Maybe. But I think he's got a lot of work to do in the gray. He could be the champion of the gray.
Well, he's not going to do it, but he's going to want to do it.
Yeah, he was really pleased when, like, he got to kill the Draken, and when the cousin was like, you know, you're so, like, you must be a great hero to be able to kill the Draken, and he's all flattered. Well, speaking of the Draken, that was our monster of the week. It comes from
one of them,
the one that they're aiming to kill. So we have the Draken comes through a portal at Karatas and starts going after people. So Lorne comes to the team and is like, hey, need some help. And then another portal opens when they get to the library where a young woman went missing.
Named Fred.
Learn about reading things out loud from books.
Yes. Cordelia reads the book and a portal opens.
It's such a trope, but I love it.
Don't speak Latin in front of the book, Sander.
Exactly. Yes, and out pops Lauren's cousin. Of all people to pop through.
It's very specific. It's just like, we choose Landoc.
So what did the newbies think about finally learning a bit about Lorne and where he comes from?
I liked that his story was like everyone's LA story. It was like going somewhere to escape, but also need to fit in. So, because you just don't feel like you fit in your hometown, or, you know, you dream of something bigger and better for yourself. So you move to LA and try to make it. And that's exactly what he does. He feels much more at home in his showy karaoke bar and being the top guy there than he does at home. But yet when he hears, like, you know, that his mother is, apparently they have cameras and are able to have pictures unless someone's like painting pictures of each person, and his mother like rips up his picture and sets it on fire because she feels shame for the fact that Lorne had left. I thought it was an interesting contrast to see him like have zero desire to go back there, even with his family feeling so disappointed in him and him learning that. He's just like, yep, okay, well, great. Thanks for stopping by. Tell mom I said hi and head on back. And he really didn't want anything to do with him or for anyone to realize that he is running away.
Actually, it was more like, tell mom I died.
Yeah, yeah, tell mom I died, jumping off the cliffs in sacrifice or whatever it was.
I want to see her. I want to see this mom all done up in the green makeup, like in a rocking chair, like, you come back here, Shawnee.
Oh, gosh, no.
It kind of reminds you of Sirius Black's story, too. Like, burning the picture on the tree or ripping up the picture here and not doing your family the honor by joining the clan like they want you to and all that.
Yeah, their version of honor is not Lauren's version of honor.
Definitely not.
Lauren is definitely a lover, not a fighter. Yes. As he says, he was charming the ladies while everyone else was out being honorable and killing things.
I had the impression that he was canonically gay from like the way he treats his bartender men as like, you're scrumptious kind of deal. But then he's just like charming the ladies. And I'm like, this feels like Michelle from Gilmore Girls. Like they're forced to write him as straight, but they don't want to. They're just because he's like a very charismatic person. So they have to show that he has interest in someone. And if they
or
can't
bi,
show
that or yeah, pan.
You know, he could be, you're right.
Because maybe
I find it specific that he's saying the ladies is what I'm saying, though. It was just like.
But if all the men are out in the countryside killing things all.
Yeah.
Like, what's left behind are the ladies.
Yeah.
That's true.
I feel like what my issue here is that he's like presented as the lady killer. And I'm like, that's not exactly how I see you.
he kills them with his fashion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like he's like. I don't know. The role of lady killer feels a bit more like misogynistic than he is. And that's where I'm having trouble swallowing all of that plot they're trying to shove into his character.
Let Lauren be Lauren.
Okay.
I mean, he never technically said like where that led. Maybe he was charming them so he could read their auras and give them guidance.
Yeah, that's true.
Or braid their hair and be their best friend.
But yeah, so we now know where Lauren is from and his name and that he's an outcast like basically everyone else at Angel Investigations. So he fits in well with them, and alongside Landok, they hunt down the Draken and Angel kills it. And then they send Landok back to his home world. And at the very end of the episode, after the portal has closed, Cordelia is missing. Where did she go?
Ah, Cordelia.
Drats, not again.
I think this is where we're going to meet Fred. I think she'll find Fred here. I hope
this is feeling so Doctor Who, now that we have like a companion lost in space, reconnected with one of our main group in an alternate dimension.
I have never seen Doctor Who, but I'm sure that makes sense.
They have so many episodes that end like this, like a character just ends up in another dimension and goes, oh, crap, and then it just cuts to black. This is so typical of that show. I chortled at the end of this episode. I was like, they didn't just do that, did they?
I bet they're just going to like pick up books and start reading a bunch of stuff all the time. But mm-hmm. They're just going to try to open as many portals as possible to find her.
I think it's going to be like a bit slapsticky that they're like, shove that demon back in. Whoa. Or they're actually going to be like, oh, no, these demon holes are opening up in L.A. We have to get them. And we still have to get like, is it going to be more of a serious drama to get her back? Or is it going to be kind of like, ha ha, Cordy just fell into a big pile of dinosaur poop?
Well, I think it could be maybe even like a standalone episode where it's just, you know, we open the episode with the guys like, you know, floundering, trying to figure out what to do. But then the whole episode is spent with Cordelia in this alternate universe.
Or why not just complete bottle episode, just Cordelia dealing with the wild?
Well, because we need to watch them struggle because they're pathetic.
Yeah, but we haven't reached our quota of bottle episode of this show. There has to be at least one. I feel like that's just up and coming, no matter what we do.
Yeah.
They are pretty useless without her.
Yeah, exactly. I just need to watch them flounder because they don't even have her visions to be like, where is she? Her visions will tell us where she are. Oh, crap. She's with her visions. We can't even use that. Now what do we do? We don't know how to function without the visions.
So where do you guys think she ended up?
It has to be Lauren's dimension, right?
I don't know.
Hashtag no comments.
That's the impression I got, right, Britt? Is that the context there?
I don't know, because I feel like she would have shown up with him.
Right. That makes sense.
But maybe... I'm not really sure. I think she's wherever Fred is, just because that would make sense.
Okay.
But I don't know if Fred is in Lauren's dimension. So
this reminds
it could
you of
be.
wasn't like Willow talking about, or maybe Anya, about like the ways that the different dimensions roll around and you can't really pick one when you're going to one. That's how Glory ended up on Earth, because it's just like, I don't know, like shooting a slingshot off into space. You don't know where it's going to land kind of idea.
I guess.
Maybe they're on the world with no shrimp.
That Anya made. Yeah.
Well, we will find out what's going on in the next episode. Any final thoughts on this one?
Is this finale fair? This doesn't feel like very finale-y yet. I think like Lindsay's gone. We've already had a big confrontation with Wolfram and Hart, and now like Cordelia's off here. So maybe this is going to have some bigger repercussions, that she's like not going to come back until the finale. Maybe she's not going to even come back even then. I don't know.
I feel like that's a long stretch to go without them reuniting, but it's possible.
There's a reason they did this near the finale, is what I'm saying.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's going to set up something for maybe the Fred's finale.
Fred's the reason, because she's going to be like some witch. I think the show needs a witch, so it'd be nice to have Fred come in as that. I was just about to say that, actually, because I was like, oh, we have all these witches on Buffy, and, you know, Angel could really use one, the show and the character.
Yeah, maybe.
No comment.
Whenever we bring up Fred, we get a lot of non-comments, Brittany.
I know.
It only leads me down a darker path.
I just love Amy Acker so much. Oh, I hope.
What can I say? I like to hear you speculate.
Yes. Do I know her?
I don't know. I watched Person of Interest, and she was Root on Person of Interest. So,
fun story. She's Beatrice with Wesley. What's his face? How do I forget the actor's name? As Benedict in the Joss Whedon Much Ado About Nothing. So they're love interest.
Yeah, she is.
Alexis Denisov.
Yeah.
Denisov?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny.
The guy.
Chemistry.
The one Willow's married to. Yeah.
Wow.
They're the two leads in his Much Ado About Nothing, which I just showed to one of my classes because we just read Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, that's blowing my mind. That's so weird. This is like worse than like the Frank moment, Britt. Oh.
No, I mean, I've seen it. I didn't know Wesley at that moment in time when I saw it.
Me neither. Now that I know it, I'm just like, I knew you before I knew you.
Yeah, it is one of those, I did know you.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Dollhouse, if you watched that.
I did not.
That's Happy Town?
Kush, right.
I really only know her from Person of Interest.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see how Lady Fred comes in. I feel like I have to say Lady Fred just that, like, you know, people who are watching along with this might know now that we're talking about a woman, because that's an uncommon woman's name, but still.
Well, what was the full name? Winifred.
Superfans will get it, but newbies, I think, hearing us say Fred will be like, oh, yeah, there's a guy we don't know about. No, it's Lady Fred.
Short for Winifred.
We can call her Winifred. That works.
No, we'll call her Fred.
My name is Fred.
Oh my gosh, Fred's really a thing, Brittany.
Yes, that's what they said.
Yeah.
In the episode.
No, I know. I'm just getting this real strong impression right now. I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this.
The super fans are giving themselves away by how much they know about Fred by saying, I know. No, I mean, it's Fred.
Yes.
there's a hint of aggression there, meaning that it's going to be a pretty big character who has to go by Fred.
She's beloved.
No, it's aggression towards Mitch's nicknaming.
Hey, my nicknames come out to be great.
Of the Lady Fred.
Oh, he's too far gone in the nicknaming game. I just...
Yeah, I know, but I keep trying.
Let's move on. Let's just move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene, just briefly, was... Angel, he's looking for the Draken, and he just is going, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. He's cracking me up.
Cute.
I love him. Maya, adorable. What was your favorite scene?
Every time Angel looks at or thinks about Cordy in a bikini. Pretty much.
Oh, they're so cute.
Wonka Wonka.
It's, oh no, she's hot.
Yeah, it's like, oh, right, I forgot you have a body.
Huh, my best friend, she has those and that. Huh.
And people are going to objectify her. No.
And then later when he's telling Wesley and Gunn, and they're both kind of slack jawed as he's describing it.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But also a mention to Lorne singing.
Oh, yeah. His Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Superstition.
Mitch, your favorite scene?
Mine is when Angel threatened to rip that guy's head off because he would do anything for Bay. And his hard eyes were so strong. We saw Cordelia all on the workplace. He was so happy to see her there. So what a good boyfriend he is.
He is such a good friend. And I think he was checking up on her because she wasn't feeling well. Also, he probably needed more vision information as well. But, you know, he at least tries to hide it very well.
He had multiple motives.
Yeah.
And Brittany, your favorite scene?
Mine was just watching Gunn have this, like, conflict of heart where he's leaving behind the people who were his family for this new job that's kind of more exciting and, you know, can really use his skills. But he is having a conflict where he wasn't there when his friends needed him and someone got hurt and he feels like he let them down. And what that means for Gunn going forward, he still went with Angel Investigations in the end, but he also had to attend this funeral / you know, burning of a guy he knew really well. And, you know, just watching him have that interior struggle, I think, was really interesting because it was something I wasn't thinking about, that, you know, he did just kind of leave them to go and join Angel Investigations. So poor Gunn.
Poor Gunn. All right, and favorite lines. My favorite line was Angel at the dinner when he says, "I'm not cheap, I'm just old. I remember when a few bob got you a good meal, a bottle, and a tavern wench."
Everyone just stares at him.
Yeah. That is totally the kind of thing an old person would say. He's very, like, aging himself in this episode, and it's hilarious.
Not only does he say that, but he says a few bob could get you a good meal, a bottle and a tavern, but he slips into this horrible accent again.
He does.
And I always forget, like, because I know we have a ton of flashback episodes and stuff, but, I always kind of forget, like, how old he is.
Old man Liam.
Love it. Mai, what was your favorite line?
Mine is Angel again. I mean, walking I get, but power walking? Why not just run for a shorter time? Weird. It's the pause that gets me. The weird.
And then a power walker punched Wesley.
Yeah.
I love that it wasn't like the demon that they're fighting. It was the power walker.
It was because Wesley wasn't respecting the demon's culture by killing him. Oh my god, so funny. Mitch, your favorite line?
I will need to say my line and then go, so I am sorry for that, everyone. But my line is that when Angel said, "When's the last time Cordy took crap from any of us?" And Gunn says, "Never, and the day after, never." And I'm like, yeah. Girl, don't take crap from no one. Why'd you do that from that director? Not worth it.
Cordy. Poor Cordy.
Enjoy feedback, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, Mitch.
Bye.
And Brittany, your favorite line?
My favorite line was from Angel when he was talking about Bonanza, and he's like, "Learn green, Bonanza. Does 15 years on the air mean nothing to anyone? Now I feel old."
Oh, he's dating himself so much, and it's the best. Oh, I love him. All right, so that wraps up our discussion for Buffy and Angel this week. If you guys have any thoughts on the episodes or on our discussion, you can share them with us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet your thoughts to us @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com. You can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can review us on iTunes. That helps other Buffy fans find the show, which is really helpful. And if you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will get on the ground and lay in obtuse angles in order for you to understand your math homework.
Thanks, Sarah.
She is helpful. All right, so briefly, we have a bit of listener feedback this week. Brittany and Mai, you want to take those first two?
Sure. So Brittany Hansen at Bell's Yeah, or Bell Yes, something like that, says, so obsessed with Natalie Fisher's melted puddle of love for Spike and Angel / Lindsay. And I say this with all the love. Natalie Fisher telling Mitch to shut up, he just doesn't understand, was the best. I agree, because I try to say it at least once an episode that I'm on with Mitch. Or I just type it to him sometimes, even when he's not talking to me.
Stephanie Merrill at Smurly. I agree 100%, I think that says, with Ariana. How cute is she? # BuffyBot. She is adorable. She is adorable. She's also creepy. I mean, the reason she was made, but her personality is... She's cute.
I will never get past the creepy. I can't do it.
I fight with weapons.
And then Laura Morrow at Laura Morrow 123 asks, has EW been spoiling Angel as well? Because I'm an Angel newbie and have been avoiding everything as a precaution.
Nope, they're just spoiling everything that has to do with Buffy ever. And it's horrible.
Probably because Angel is not on a big anniversary yet.
Yeah. But I haven't been spoiled for anything with Angel. I've been spoiled a lot for Buffy, which is an occupational hazard, but that's okay. It's not great. It's actually not okay, but it'll be fine. I'll forget about it. Cause it was like, you know, I was ready and totally prepared the week before and the week during the 20th anniversary, but then stuff still kept coming out afterwards. So it's not a safe time to have Entertainment Weekly on your Twitter or Facebook feed.
They gotta get those clicks.
And they are, I'm assuming.
The hazards of watching a 20-year-old show for the first time. All right, and then we have a comment from Hypable. Brittany, you want to get that?
I don't even know who this person is. Sorry if I mispronounce your name. Danielle something with a Z. I don't know why it bothered me so much, but I was really taken out of the Buffy episode when she's supposed to be all alone in the desert following the large cat, and I see crew members in the periphery. Twice. There was one crew member in blue when the cat first shows up, and then in a subsequent desert shot, there's the shadow of another. Am I the only one? Dearest Danielle, I don't think you're the only one, but I also don't remember seeing this, but I want to look now.
I did not notice this.
But I think that's so interesting, and I'm really going to go and watch this again.
I think it depends on the cut of the episode, and the newer ones may have a larger cut.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think. Don't quote me.
Yeah, I'm going to watch...
I say on an episode.
Yeah. <It's> like, don't quote me. I'm being recorded, aren't I? Yeah, I'm going to go look and see this, because I love catching this stuff. And maybe she's not alone in the desert.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe there's a whole crew.
All right. And Mai, you want to get the email from Patty?
Just listening to the podcast on the body right now. And I have to say, this is how I interpret the scene where Buffy calls Giles. She calls Giles not only because she needs him to be there for her, but... I think when she says she's here, she's also worried that possibly the reason her mom is dead is because she believes Glory could be in the house and killed her. Remember, she is in shock, so the fact that Joyce has had surgery recently because of her brain tumor probably isn't a factor for Buffy. In her mind, the only reason her mom could have died is because someone has killed her. Thanks for the great podcast, Patty.
I think that's fair, because, again, like we've been saying... in the past couple shock. Of episodes, it's a combination of shock and just reality sucking. It doesn't have to be this, she's looking for, you know, demons to blame when her mom first gets sick, and she's looking for spells and something that could have come wrong from, like, you know, just living that close to the Hellmouth. So definitely a natural reaction, at least in this universe, for Buffy to think that something else is going on instead of just, you know, nature taking over and her mom dying because she was sick. Something so unpredictable instead of something that could just happen. Sad, Buffy.
It could also probably be that she had a longer sentence in her head, but that's the word that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my heart hurts just thinking about it again. Everything is painful.
Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't on that after all.
All right. That
forever was a fun one.
That had its own trauma.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch is gone, but we can close with Brittany's brainstorms for Buffy 520 Spiral and Angel 220 Over the Rainbow.
I think I'm going to stick with my predictions that I made during our discussion, which is that in Spiral, Dawn is probably going to be taken by Glory and Buffy spirals out of control. Or we get to deal with everyone kind of spiraling, sort of like we had in this Angel episode, where we got a glimpse of like kind of what everyone's going through and their reactions either to Buffy or the situation in general. And then in Angel Over the Rainbow, I think that since I'm just reading the title of this now, we might get a standoff episode where it's just focused on Cordelia in this other world, and she's like in Oz. And she finds Fred, and she has to find Fred, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion, and they have to click their heels and get back to Angel somehow.
There's no like Angel. There's no place like Angel.
Oh, that's so true. Angel is such a great show, and I'm sorry to all the Buffy fans that I'm disappointing, because apparently if you like Buffy that much, you're not supposed to like Angel, is the impression I'm getting from this whole Buffy anniversary thing. People are like, Angel is trash, and I'm like, Angel is a fantastic show.
Not gonna lie, I'm kind of enjoying Angel more right now too, so yeah. You're not alone.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
I'm enjoying it a lot more than I did last time I watched it.
It's so good.
It is Angel's face. I'm so glad Angel gets to be Angel. I love that there's a space for Angel to be Angel.
I will never be over his smile when he brought the sandwiches and Cordy said she loved him.
I know, he was so happy.
The clothes and they jumped.
I love it.
How has he not lost his soul?
I know.
Like being with her.
Just and the happy. Just hanging out is pure joy.
Hmm.
All right, so that does it for our discussion this week for Buffy and Angel. We will continue our discussions next week with another crew of rewatchable people. Until next time, my name is Caitlin.
I'm Mai.
I'm Mitch. And I'm Brittany.
I'm Mitch.
Bye.
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 Actually, I really liked this Angel episode.
Oh, we're going to have some shit to talk about, girl.